Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review for March 9th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Stay in the Lines. True Colors allows adults to entertain their inner child. From Decatur, Donette Beckett writes, Some of us wish we could go back to the simplicity of childhood. Sitting at a table with a box of crayons and a colorless picture of your favorite character or place brings back fond memories for many. The activity hasn't stopped for the participants of the adult coloring group, True Colors. The free weekly gathering began 4 years ago at the Decatur Public Library as a way to de-stress and socialize. They continue to meet from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays in the library's quiet room. The library provides pages, materials, and refreshments for the weekly meetings. Participants can come and go as they please during the two-hour time slot. You can leave a half an hour later if you want to, said Marilyn Cushing, 82. A large group of coloring participants gathered in Decatur shortly after the activity became popular around the country. The adults have found coloring is just as enjoyable for them as it is for the children. It's a lot more detailed, Cushing said. According to a 2018 report in Psychology Today, they found that after a week of daily coloring, participants displayed significantly lower levels of anxiety and depressive symptoms, the author said. The article went on to say coloring may be therapeutic, but does not replace therapy. The pages can have abstract scenes. Others are landscapes or ornate objects, such as a butterfly. One of the popular coloring pages is the mandala, or a complex circular ornament. A typical mandala may take hours to complete, depending on the details. Men and women of all ages have met to participate at the Decatur gathering. Children, 8 years old and older with adult supervision, have also joined the group. Adult coloring books can be purchased in various locations, including dollar stores and craft shops. Crayons are not the only coloring device the participants use. Colored pencils, gel pens, and markers can also be found among the coloring pages. You can also get greeting cards to color, Cushing said, or postcards. You can color one side, and then you can add the address and mail it. Marilee Gordon, 80, prefers coloring the smaller pieces. Special projects include a daily devotional book, small pictures, and cards. I like them better, she said, because you can write on the back and send it somewhere. Not everyone joins the weekly coloring night as an artistic outlet. I come to socialize and admire, said Susan Danko, 71. I do not like to color. I can color at home. I come to be with the people. Adult coloring is pleasing for many. However, like Danko, not everyone enjoys the pastime. I know some people find coloring relaxing, and I know some others who say it makes them nervous, she said. Gordon has attended True Colors nearly every week since it began. We came to see what it was like the first time, and we liked it, she said. It's relaxing, but I don't gab as much as the others. I just like to color. Gordon doesn't consider herself a creative person. She has tried other crafty adventures, but didn't find her comfort zone. It drives me nuts, she said about her attempts at other projects. Coloring is a personal activity, allowing the participant opportunities to be as creative as possible while focusing on the details. It's fun to work with the colors, Cushing said. You forget about other things when you're concentrating on the little bitty coloring details. Gordon said she often has to explain the joy the activity brings her. They say, Color? You color? Are you still a kid? She said. Well, I try to stay in the lines. And the sidebar has a reminder that if you go, it is True Colors, an adult coloring night. held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays at the Decatur Public Library Quiet Room. The cost is free. And for more information on the web, you can go to www.decaturlibrary.org/events. And this was part of the Together Decatur series. If you know a person or a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur, contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983. And continuing on the front page, coronavirus. Amtrak passenger may have had virus. Chicago to St. Louis rider presumptive positive. Concern about coronavirus in Illinois grew steadily Sunday as authorities announced an Amtrak train may have carried an infected passenger between Chicago and St. Louis. A Bloomington couple waited out a quarantine aboard a cruise ship off the California coast, and state health leaders identified a new case unrelated to the state's previously identified six cases. The train, Lincoln Service 303, makes stops in Joliet, Dwight, Pontiac, Normal, Lincoln, and Springfield. The rail carrier said it had taken the train out of service for cleaning and was disinfecting its stations in Chicago and St. Louis. Meanwhile, in St. Louis, authorities closed two schools after family members of the passenger attended a school function against medical advice. Managers at the Normal train station referred questions to corporate headquarters, and Amtrak released a statement indicating the company is looking into the matter. At Amtrak, safety is our top priority. We have received notification from St. Louis County, Missouri, that an individual who traveled on Amtrak train 303, Chicago to St. Louis, on March 4, 2020, has tested presumptive positive for the coronavirus, the statement read. We are working in close contact with public health and emergency management. Teams have to have the best available information to be able to share with customers and employees who might be affected. Amtrak is notifying passengers and employees who may have been on the same train, and, as a precaution, we have taken the train out of service for comprehensive cleaning and disinfection, and are also working to do a thorough disinfection of the Chicago and St. Louis stations. Advice from Central Illinois health professionals is not to panic. The best thing that you can do for yourself and your community is to wash your hands, stay vigilant, and don't panic, said Dr. James Nevin, Chief Medical Officer for Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal and Advocate Eureka Hospital in Eureka. If you feel ill, stay home and call your doctor. The elderly, those with compromised immune systems, and small children should be especially vigilant. The Bloomington couple hopes to return to Illinois this week after their vacation was extended after 21 people on board tested positive for COVID-19. Barbara May and her husband Jordan are among the 3,553 people aboard the Grand Princess for what was originally scheduled for a two-week journey from San Francisco to Hawaii. However, the trip was interrupted on its return leg Wednesday, when officials learned the 71-year-old California man who had traveled on the ship last month died of the disease last week. We woke Thursday to a letter informing us, Barbara said. That's when everything started to change. We noticed they had removed the salt and pepper shakers from the tables. We couldn't touch anything. The staff members were wearing masks and gloves and delivered and prepared everything. Following guidelines from the U.S. Centers of Disease Control, all guests were asked to stay in their staterooms while test results on 45 crew members and guests are pending, officials announced. Guests are receiving meal deliveries in their staterooms by room service, and additional television and movie options have been added to in-room programming. Guests from 54 different countries have also been provided complimentary internet service to stay in contact with their family and loved ones. Crew members wearing masks and gloves delivered trays of food in covered plates and placed outside the stateroom doors. A hospitalized Chicago man in his 60s is believed to be the first Illinois community transmission case of COVID-19. The man, in serious condition, had not traveled recently. His case marked the 7th overall in Illinois. As we have enhanced our surveillance efforts and begun testing more people, we expected to find more cases, and I expect that we will continue to identify cases in the days and weeks to come, said Chicago Department of Public Health Commissioner Dr. Allison Arwadi said in a statement. She said the news doesn't indicate widespread transmission in Chicago, but anyone with fever, cough, and respiratory symptoms should stay home. Worldwide, the virus has infected more than 100,000 people and killed more than 3,400. Most cases have been mild, and more than half of those infected have recovered. And moving to the local and state page, Illinois early voting slow. COVID-19 fears thinning of contestants may provide a boost. This week's abrupt depletion of Democratic presidential hopefuls is giving Illinois voters a less cluttered path through the March 17th primary ballot. That thinning of the ranks and an unlikely pairing with worldwide health concerns raised from a new virus should produce a spike in early voting, officials said. Early and grace period voting is expected to pick up in the 10 days left before the Illinois primary, with the departure of 5 major candidates. That came after former Vice President Joe Biden's whirlwind turnaround marked by a South Carolina landslide and victories in 10 of 14 Super Tuesday states. It left the nomination battle essentially a showdown between Biden and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. It had a great impact, Cook County Clerk Karen Yarbrough said. A number of people were waiting to see how it would shake out on Super Tuesday and then see where they're going to go. Now they will vote early because it's a clear path. Illinois' 2016 early vote count totaled 520,000, a number that was up 260% from 2012. But as of midday Friday, only 106,000 early votes had been cast, according to the Illinois State Board of Elections. The board is again reassuring the public that there is sufficient security to thwart foreign meddling, like in 2016, when Russian hackers accessed voter registration data. Despite the fact that the daily early vote count through week's end averaged 3,650, compared with an overall daily average of 13,000 in 2016, Elections Board spokesman Matt Dietrich predicted this year's total will surpass that of 4 years ago. The trend began the day after Super Tuesday. The number of early and grace period ballots cast in the second half of the week jumped 56%. Voters who didn't wait for the Democratic field to thin and cast an early or mail-in vote for a candidate who's no longer competing are out of luck. Unlike the rare state such as Michigan, there are no do-overs in Illinois. A vote cast is a vote cast. The other factor that might govern early and mail-in voting is fear of the illness caused by the novel coronavirus. Illinois has reported 5 cases of COVID-19, and state officials contend their efforts to contain the flu-like virus will prevent a widespread outbreak. But for those who are wary, early voting means going to one of a few designated polling places in a voter's jurisdiction to mark the ballot without facing crowds. Mail-in voting means making a choice without leaving home. If people want to avoid the lines on Election Day, keep in mind that early voting is going on now through the 16th, Dietrich said. The other option, if you're really concerned about it and want to avoid going to any public place whatsoever, you have until March 12th to request a vote-by-mail application. Early and Election Day voting places are stocked with hand sanitizer and disinfectant wipes, said Jim Allen, spokesman for the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners. Paper ballots are also available on Election Day, so voters need not interact with touch screen voting. The virus is on everybody's mind, but we have not seen the early voting sites a downtick, Yarbrough said. We see lots of people voting. We are encouraging people, if they're feeling apprehensive, to send in a ballot and vote from home. Illinois was the only one of 21 states to acknowledge that Russian agents hacked its election system in the summer of 2016. They accessed, but were unable to change, add, or delete, the data of 76,000 registered voters. No actual votes or election information were affected, but the breach became part of Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller's 2018 indictment of a dozen Russian agents for hacking. The Elections Board weathered the 2018 midterm election successfully after revamping its voter database and employing cybersecurity experts to monitor ballots on Election Day. It has used $13.2 million from a federal grant to develop a network of so-called cyber navigators stationed around the state who advise local election authorities and respond to breaches or other problems. And continuing on the local page, life in the health lane. Free bowling day gets Lincoln residents out of the house. Tony Reed writes, part of the trick with steering people towards healthy lifestyles is knowing the right lane of approach. The Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital Community Health Collaborative finds that family bowling turns out to be a pretty good prescription for doing that, and was at it again on Sunday with its free bowling day at Lincoln's Logan Lanes. Families, notified through social media and with notes sent home with the kids from school, just show up and bowl for free. More than 160 bowlers aged from about 4 to 60 took up the invitation, and their laughter mixed with the clunking sound of bowling balls to form the soundtrack of a successful event. 4-year-old Jarrett Koch, for example, was all smiles as his dad Cody helped the pin-sized neophyte bowler launch the round missile down a mini pedal slope designed to facilitate junior bowling. We saw it on Facebook and thought it would be a fun activity, said Cody Koch, 34, who lives in Lincoln. He was all excited to come out, and it's also all free, which is nice. Promoting a healthy lifestyle? Yeah, I think it does. It's better than being in the house. The bowling event has been rolling along for more than 5 years now. It is one of a series, or initiatives, from ALM-HCHC, which is funded by the Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital Foundation. The Health Collaborative's director, Angela Stolzenberg, said from teaching kids how to make a better meal choice to organizing a Saturday's Farmers Mart, starting May 9th in Lincoln, to educating to combat substance abuse and promoting healthy living and exercise, the work to improve a community is never quite done. To me, the most important thing is to give our community the opportunity to know what healthy choices are, and then give them access to be able to act on those choices, Stolzenberg said. A healthy community is also a safe one, and a longtime partner and co-sponsor for Sunday's free bowling is the Lincoln Logan Crime Stoppers organization. Best known for paying cash awards for tips that lead to the apprehension of offenders, Ron Hall, the organization's president, said it also likes to be involved in promoting events that improve the overall quality of life. Hall said being involved with the Free Bowl also gives the organization a chance to explain what it does and what it doesn't do. We're basically an organization of concerned individuals, not wannabe policemen, he added. We just want to help deter crime and make this a better place to live. And pictures accompany this article. One of a little boy and his dad placing a bright green bowling ball on the apparatus used to help small children bowl, captioned 4-year-old Jarrett Koch receives a last-minute pre-launch instruction from his dad, Cody, at Sunday's Free Bowl event hosted at Logan Lanes in Lincoln. The idea was to promote healthy lifestyles among families while encouraging them to spend quality time together. And the second photograph is of a young lady with a bright orange bowling ball ready to rumble. Sierra Shepherd, 9, was one of the more accomplished young players at a day of free bowling hosted at Logan Lanes in Lincoln. Sierra, who lives in Clinton, goes bowling with her granddad quite often and knows the ropes. And next, worth the wait. $2.7 million Fire Station 5 opening Tuesday. From Decatur. The first of several fire station construction projects is nearly complete after almost 2 years of work at what is now Fire Station No. 5's new home. Firefighters and staff have already started moving furniture and equipment into the 5,450-square-foot facility at West Mound Road in Decatur. Fire Chief Jeff Abbott said it was long overdue, but worth the wait. We are just excited to finally be at this stage and to start operating out of this facility, Abbott said. The facility will formally open on Tuesday, March 10th, with a public celebration. A few new amenities of the new building include extra storage, a gear room, and air ventilation systems that ensure safe air quality where vehicles are kept. Gone are the days of dorm-style sleeping arrangements for those who will be stationed at the new facility, equipped with 6 private sleeping quarters. Rich Pruitt, Deputy Chief of Operations, said 4 firefighters assigned to the 3 different shifts will be able to store personal belongings in cabinets installed in each of the rooms. Pruitt, who oversaw the construction project carried out by Christie Foltz, Inc., said having individual sleeping areas and 2 separate bathrooms are major luxuries of the new facility. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said the amenities could help recruit more female firefighters. We didn't used to have female firefighters, Moore Wolf said, but this new facility caters to both. The Decatur City Council approved a $2.7 million contract for the project in May 2018, citing that a new facility would provide faster response to the north side of the city. The project is one portion of a larger $8.5 million project to build 3 new stations and renovate 4 existing facilities. Funding comes from bonds, which will be paid back to the cost of about $400 a year for the next 20 years. The old Station No. 5 location, 225 East Christine Drive, has gone through major renovations since it first opened in 1962, including a $12,422 repair in 2015 when the dorm room ceiling collapsed. No firefighters were in that part of the building at the time, but Abbott said it was the push needed to move forward with constructing a new station. The new Station 5 was built on the site of a former house. Firefighters in October 2018 used it to perform training exercises before the structure was raised. Moore Wolf said the new construction was necessary because older stations are not compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Station 5 was built with the law in mind and has wide hallways and stairways. The kitchen is wheelchair accessible with enough room to navigate between furniture and a sink that was built lower than the traditional height. Abbott said plans are still in the works for replacing Fire Station 3 at Fairview Park and Fire Station 7 at Decatur Airport. He said the design work and bid packets for Station 3 are completed, and the hope to place the project out for bids in the coming months. The design work for Station 7 would match Station 3, but the land purchases for Station 7 have to be completed before it can go out for bid. We would like them to bid at the same time, if possible, Abbott said. We still hope construction can begin this year. And next, Freezin' for a Reason. Special Olympics fundraiser Polar Plunge marks its 19th year. From Decatur, they call it the Polar Plunge for a good reason. At Lake Decatur on Saturday, the water temperature was 44 degrees, said Joni Keyes, Special Olympics Illinois Region 1 director. The announcement brought cheer and applause from the plungers waiting for the event to start. One would not think the prospect of taking a dip in 44-degree water on a chilly March morning would elicit that particular reaction, until she added that last year the water temperature was only 36 degrees. Your legs go numb right away, said Megan Cox, a member of Gamers for Good, who were all dressed as video game characters. Cox was Skull Kid from Legend of Zelda. You have to be prepared for that because you are going to fall down. It's so worth it, said Kit Ross, dressed as Link, also from The Legend of Zelda. The annual Polar Plunge, presented by law enforcement Torch Run and Geico, is in its 19th year on the shores of the lake outside the beach house. The event had already raised $65,000 as of pre-registration, with 331 plungers signed up for Freezin' for a Reason, as the backs of the souvenir shirts say. More plungers were expected to sign up on Saturday, and Keyes said the fundraising goal this year is $86,000. That helps pay for equipment, uniforms, and sometimes transportation for the hundreds of Special Olympics athletes who compete in the 17 events a year from this region, and they never have to pay to compete, thanks to the Polar Plunge. Two previous Polar Plunges had already raised close to $80,000, Keyes said. Acorn Inc. employees formed a team of 22 and raised more than $10,500 among them, said Katie Berger, team captain. This is their fifth year to participate. This is our largest team ever and the most money we've ever raised, Berger said. We've had a fantastic year. Inside the warming tent, where plungers gathered before and after the event, the music started off with current pop and dance music, but when it got close to time to plunge, the Beach Boys took over the loudspeakers in the spirit of the occasion as a nod to the beach where plungers went into the water. Tim Spinner has participated since 2008 and also participates in the Super Plunge in Chicago, where plungers enter the water once an hour for 24 hours. He went all the way underwater all 24 times, and again on Saturday at Decatur's event, complete with fright wig and tutu, his usual Polar Plunge outfit. Today was a piece of cake compared to the Super Plunge, Spinner said with a laugh. He signed up for his first plunge with co-workers and they all dropped out except him, he said. But it was so much fun that he was hooked and has done it every year since. Most people I talk to love giving money to the organization, he added. And we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review. It is March 9th, 2020. Please stay tuned.